This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du, my dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you on this day of Jumu'ah, first and foremost, to send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as we can, because this is a day when there is special benefit in sending salat and salam on Rasulullah ﷺ even more than normally. Also, this is a day when Rasulullah ﷺ said that there is a sa'ah, there is a time in this day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts whatever dua his slave asks, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you that particular sa'ah and to enable you, to inspire you to make du'as which are full of khair and benefit for you and for everybody else. My brothers and sisters, this khutbah is in two parts. We will do the part one this week and part two next week. And I have titled it Vision 2021. I titled the fifth book of my Jummah khutbahs, which just got released, just got published a couple of weeks ago. And you have all received notice of that. Most welcome to read it. The title of that book is Race Towards Forgiveness. Race Towards Forgiveness. I gave it this title especially because in these days of COVID, our mortality has been brought to our attention very graphically. As I write this, as I speak this, more than 282,000 people have died in America alone with COVID. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief from this pandemic for all people everywhere. This shows us the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised us to race towards. And that is why I titled my book, Race Towards Forgiveness. We must reboot our attitudes and our behavior and our lives for this to happen. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us, and he said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, which means, perhaps you hate something and it is good for you, and perhaps you love something and it is bad for you, and Allah knows and you do not know. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he said, a calamity that makes you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better for you than a blessing which makes you forget the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. COVID brought our lives to a rude halt. Then it forced us to relook at ourselves and to answer the question which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us when he said, فَأَيْنَ تَذَبُونَ Where are you going? For many of us, COVID forced us to reset our priorities, to reorganize our lives, to learn new ways of working and relating to one another, new ways of behavior and reordering of our priorities. But for others, it's for each of us to decide where we are. Are we among those who did these things, or are we among those who are still in a state of ghafla, in a state of heedlessness? But there is still time. There's always time for anyone who wants to wake up and get out of bed. Simply lying in bed awake is worse than being asleep. We talk about awakening, but what's more important is what you do after you wake up. What will emerge from this whole COVID thing still remains to be seen. But we hope that we will become more responsible and hold ourselves more accountable and learn to relate to each other with love and compassion, and to the earth and its inhabitants with kindness as trustees. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance for all of us in the path of his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, so that our lives become a means of goodness for all those who share our lives and spaces. This year has been unique in many unbelievable ways. We have learned to live under a pall of fear and gloom, to deal with it and still remain functional and productive, Alhamdulillah. We became stronger and more resilient. We were inundated with changes that we would never have imagined even in our nightmares. Who thought that we would be praying standing 6 feet apart? Who thought that a time would come when our masajid would be totally shut down, locked? Who thought that Ramadan would come and go without Taraweeh, without Qiyam, without Itikaf in the masjid? Who thought that Umrah would be suspended? Who thought that even Hajj would be done on a minute scale under strictly controlled safety regulations? Who thought that planes would not fly, that offices would shut down, that the daily commute would be from the bed to the desk, in the same house or even in the same room? Who thought that we would be able to reach, on the other hand, who thought that we would be able to reach an unprecedented number of people without moving from our desks? Who thought that international conferences and seminars with hundreds of people in attendance would be done without spending one single cent on travel or hotels? Who thought that children would go to school from home, and that homeschooling, which had been something of a curiosity, would overnight metamorphose into becoming the norm? What that means for the travel, tourism, and hotel industries and all those who worked there is another story. But what that meant for Zoom communications, for example, and those who invested in that stock is something else. Who thought that the means of getting us close would become the means of creating more distance in the hearts? Who thought that loneliness would become a killer competing with COVID? Who thought that mental illness would become a parallel pandemic? Who thought that all the symbols and gestures of closeness and brotherhood and equality and mutual love and respect would become taboo? And if done, set off alarms of suspicion and ill will. The word negative and positive took on new meanings. Being responsible became important and included others like never before. I can go on, but I will leave you to add to this list. What is true is that every single one of us got Vision 2020 very badly wrong. Not a single fortune teller, not a single seance specialist, not a single Vastu or Feng Shui guru, no scenario planner, no strategic thinker, no plain, simple, garden variety, lizard or person could predict what every one of us experienced from September 2019 to now, December 2020, and we don't know when it will end. Not our data projections, not our time maps, not our visioning sessions. I do that as part of my corporate consulting work. Not even worst case analyses could help us to anticipate and prepare for COVID. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show us exactly how powerful we are. And I think he made his point rather well. What remains is for us to use this as an opportunity to map a road to success ahead. I want to point out that all this happened thanks to a microbe, which is so tiny that it can only be seen under a microscope. Something which is neither man nor beast. It's not, strictly speaking, even a microbe. Is it a living thing or not? We are not even agreed on that. What we are agreed on is that it kills. This is the power of our Creator, Jalla Jalaluhu, who can create anything he wishes and can bring all our arrogance and power and prestige to the ground using something that is so tiny but hugely significant, not insignificant at all. If there is one message that COVID-19 came with loud and clear, it is, I too can die. I say this to myself, and I want you to stand in front of the mirror and say to yourself, I too can die. It may sound like a no-brainer, but I'm sure we will all agree that too many of us had gotten used to living as if we were immortal and unquestionable. Well, that fog has now been cleared. There are over 1 million people in the world who would agree with what I'm saying if they could speak. My brothers and sisters, one day we will meet Allah. It doesn't matter whether we choose to believe that or not, it will happen. And when that happens, we will be questioned about what we did and what we chose not to do. On those answers will depend our eternal lives, which we will live without end. Death will die in this world. In the Akhirah, there is no death. That is why it is essential that we make sure that we reach the Akhirah in a state where we will be entitled to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will be granted entry into Jannah, inshallah. COVID came as an eye-opener, as a warner, as a reminder. If we remain engrossed in the deception of this world and the toxic culture that has become the global norm, then we will be losers before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I asked you to name the top 3 most successful people in the world, I can bet you that every single one of you will name 3 billionaires. That is the standard that we have become used to. Money is our single criterion of success. We don't care how we make it. We don't care where we spend it. We don't care about anything other than how much money a person has. When we say net worth, we mean only money. While we admit that things of real value are not for sale and no amount of money can buy them, that is hypocrisy. Just ask a question. Let me ask you this question. What do you value in your spouse or your friend? Money or kindness, compassion, truthfulness, integrity, morality, harmony, honor? Not one of them can be bought for any amount of money. But we don't think of any of these when we assess the net worth of a person. Who is more intelligent? Someone who sells things he can never buy to get what is essentially garbage in its first stage, or someone who refuses to compromise the priceless? Who is more intelligent? Go to a car dump. Go to a car dump yard and reflect on the fact that every one of those cars, which is rusting to nothing just now in front of your eyes, was someone's dream car one day. That is what I mean by garbage in its first stage. The single fundamental change that Rasulullah brought about was in the definition of net worth, from the person with the most money to the person with the most character. That is how HNI order in Makkah changed from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as the person with the highest net worth. Nobody understood this better than the Quraysh, that Islam means a total priority change. That's why they fought it, and that's why those who embraced it were so true to it. I remind you and myself that no matter how fast or slow we move, we can only reach the destination that we make our goal. Let us ask what that goal should be. We will talk about the steps for life goal planning next Jummah, inshallah. But for now, I want you to reflect on your life goal and ask yourself 2 questions. So first, define your life goal. And with respect to that life goal, ask yourself 2 questions. Number 1, what will I get if I achieve this life goal? What will I get if I achieve this life goal? And the second question is, what will I have to give up to get this goal? First question, what will I achieve if I get this life goal? Second question, what will I have to give up to get this goal? Because believe me, nothing is free. To get something, we have to give something. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the single-minded pursuit of profit to the exclusion of everything else? Someone asked Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, how it is that people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even those who accept him, Muslims, but deny his orders and go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they seem to have everything going for them in this life. They asked him, how is this possible? On the one hand, they deny Allah or they deny his orders, they deny the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but everything in life is falling into place. I mean, they've got money, they've got influence, they've got friends, they've got, you know, all kinds of things. They become more and more wealthy and powerful. How's that? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, he recited this ayah. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Imam Shafi'i recited this ayah. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, when they had forgotten all that they had been told to take to heart, meaning that they had been warned and they had been told to do some things, but they continued to ignore them. When they did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he do? Did he punish them? No. Allah said, we threw open to them the gates of all things until even as they were rejoicing in what they had been granted, we took them to task. Death came to them. And lo, they were broken in spirit. And then Imam Shafi said, when you see this, you know that the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started for these people. May Allah protect us from being among such people. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that if you find yourself in a situation where you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you are getting more and more of dunya, while you continue to commit sins, while you continue to find justifications for your actions, remember that maybe may Allah protect you, perhaps the azab of Allah has already started and the doors of hidayah have been shut. And that is why I said that we need to examine our standard of determining success and failure. How can people borrowing money on interest on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war be called successful? How can people who lie and cheat and deceive be called successful? How can people who are ostentatious in their lifestyles, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called ostentatious people, Ikhwan al-Shayateen, the brothers of Shaitan, how can they be successful? Please understand, I'm not against worldly progress or the acquisition of wealth and power. In the famous hadith which Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah said, the strong believer is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weak believer, but there is goodness in both of them. Be eager for what benefits you. Seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be frustrated. If something befalls you, if something happens to you, then do not say, if only I had done something else. If something befalls you, do not say, if only I had done something else. Rather, say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed what He wills. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Verily, the phrase, if only, opens the day. The phrase, if only, opens the way for the work of shaitan. And this is in Sahih Muslim. By strength is meant every kind of strength. Strength in iman and yaqeen, strength in tawakkul, strength in knowledge, strength in science, technology, political power, authority, wealth, physical prowess, every kind of goodness in life. We must aim for that. We must excel in all of these things. There is nothing romantic about poverty and weakness. But to acquire these at the expense of our akhirah is a very bad bargain. That is the reason why we must be clear about our goal and the means of achieving it. My brothers and sisters, in Islam, the end does not justify the means, and the means do not justify the end. Both must simultaneously meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's criterion of judgment, that is, the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wealth acquired in the right way made Uthman ibn Affan and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhuma people of Jannah. Power acquired in the right way made Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu people of Jannah. Question to ask is, what do we want for ourselves? Who do we want to be with? And that is the question for us to answer before we are called to answer it. That is the reason why I'm saying, let us create a vision 2021 which takes us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.